across this big, brown, flat, mysterious, crazy country, Coca-Cola presents Martin Malloy with Mick Malloy and Tony Martin.
And today, Mick's been to see the Jim Rose Freak Circus and decided, piece of piss, I can do that, and he'll prove it on today's show. Also, we'll unveil our latest highfalutin art movie and lowfalutin sitcom. We'll find out why there's trouble at Madame Tussauds, and we'll hear about the worst rock concert you've ever been to. We'll play Radio Gladiators and When Celebrities Attack. We'll award the prestigious Fumio Award, because it's an award, and that's what you do with awards, you award them. And we'll welcome our guest, the enigmatic Stephen Wright. Yes, it's all coming up on the program that Andrew Lloyd Webber says hasn't yet found its stage voice, Martin Malloy. Everybody, heart, that's Tony Braxton. Good afternoon, Australia. Good afternoon, London. And a special hello today to all our listeners in City of the Future, Wagga. This is Martin Malloy with myself, Tony Martin, and this bloke over here, a man who, it's rumoured, will today finally come out of the closet and tell all about his lesbian lifestyle, Mick Malloy.
It's worth the wait, people.
It's the worst-kept secret in show business.
I'm sitting on a bombshell.
But look, Mick, it's almost the weekend. And that means it's time to dish out the Fumio. The what? I hear some of our newer listeners ask. Well, it's a very special trophy we piff at the person or persons whose activities over the last week have given us the most to yammer on about here at the big program. The award itself is named after the world's least successful plane hijacker, and this week it's brought to you by the new Smokey Dawson electric chair. Now, as your life is extinguished and your head explodes in a ball of flame, you'll at least be enjoying perfect lumbar support and unrivaled three-position comfort. The Smokey Dawson electric chair, because capital punishment doesn't have to be murder on your back. And Mick, just before we get to this week's Fumio nominees, let's do one thing. Let's eliminate Mal Colston from competition.
Okay.
Because frankly, over the last couple of months, he's been nothing but a Fumio hog. Even Michael Jackson has been hard-pressed to get a look in. So putting Mal aside, who are the nominees?
Farlap, who has to be moved from his home at the Museum of Victoria while renovations are completed there. And, according to the museum's curator, trainer Buck Cummings has also been told to pack his bags.
Amanda Vanstone, who from now on won't be going near any university because of jokes about her weight, as opposed to most young Australians who won't be going near any university because their parents aren't sitting on a lazy $100,000.
The entire Australian Davis Cup tennis team, who, as we speak, are lobbying heavily for the tournament organisers to introduce a happy hour.
Greg Ritchie, who witnesses say was incoherent, obnoxious, insulting, and made a number of racially offensive comments, and that was just on his last TV appearance as Mahatma Coat. But no, the Fumio goes to
David Colston! Yes, the son of Mal, who when confronted on his doorstep by a journalist this week, responded with...
Get the f*** off the property!
Well, we've just been asked to...
Get up!
But, Mick...
And if you reckon that's bad, wait till you hear the mouthful you get when you rock up to one of his Melrose parties.
Mick, look, I know we've been playing that bit of footage, and I have to say, it's had some happy spin-offs.
Sure.
You know that, don't you? There's been, of course, our... new David Colston doll. Just that out. Yeah, just pull the string for us.
Get the f*** off my property!
Well, we've just been asked to get
up! That's a fantastic one for the youngsters.
Yep.
There's hijinks aplenty when the health inspector drops by unexpectedly.
Excuse me, Mr. Colston, I must insist you allow me to examine your kitchen.
Get the f*** off my property!
I beg your pardon?
Get up!
And what about the two lovable old ducks from room 14?
Excuse us, Mr. Colston, there's a bit of a draft getting in.
Get the f*** off my property!
Oh, that's a bit...
Get up!
Look out, kiddies, you might get a clip round the ear from the feisty proprietor.
Mr. Colston, I tripped over on the staircase and I think I've broken my...
Get the f*** off my property!
But I've split my...
Get up!
Even Manuel's copping it.
Mr. Colston,
Get the f***!
Call Colston Towers, exploding soon on Martin Molloy. Here's what one satisfied customer tried to say.
Could you take your hand off my throat, please?
Breakfast at Tiffany's, Deep Blue Something here at Martin Molloy, and Mick, I believe you had a night out last night at the Legitimate Theatre.
That's right.
It's a freak show!
Oh, what was it?
And I rolled up.
It was fantastic. The Jim Rose Circus, in town for the Comedy Festival. I was in Melbourne last night, and I've gone in and I've had a look-see, and the action kicked off right from the time I took my seat. Even as they're still coming into the auditorium, Tone, I've seen a David Colston look-alike. I swear to you, I've looked at him and I thought, he must be in the show. Because you could put David Colston in a freak show, couldn't you? You wouldn't need to think about it much. You could just have him on stage eating a pie. That'd draw gasps from the audience, wouldn't it? So anyway, then the show begins. Cast members, this is how the lights go down, and cast members are running around the room in the dark, brandishing chainsaws. Reminded me of the time I walked past a hair salon where Richard Wilkins was getting his hair cut. Right. I thought, there's an idea. There was a rubber man who grabbed a tennis racket, popped his head through it, and then continued to writhe around on the ground till he'd squeezed his entire body through it. At first, I wasn't sure if it was a freak or just a pissed Patrick Rafter. Either way, he should be playing Jimro's head while he lay face down in a pile of broken glass, a relatively new addition to the show, which was introduced after Jimbo saw Pauline Hanson receiving a facial. Then he's brought out his female sumos, and wasn't cool. Two large topless women in the sumo derps going at it hammer and tongs. It looked like Elizabeth Taylor and Shelley Winters squabbling over a chip. Then, right, when you think it's over, Jimbo announces that the winner is now going to wrestle a guest Australian female sumo. And at this stage, I'm thinking, oh, no, I hope there aren't any students in the audience. Or Jimbo's guest sumo may crack a wobbly and head back to Canberra. But no, it wasn't Amanda. Do you know who it was?
Who was
We've
it?
Had her on the show.
Really?
Sue Ann Post.
Are you serious?
And she wasn't there for a haircut either. She was tossing them around the ring like fairy floss. I'm telling you. Look, I don't know what to tell you, but it's a controversial show. Did you follow the talkback radio furor yesterday, Tone? Someone went, this is true, someone went to the Jim Rose Circus and complained that his 12-year-old son was hit in the head with a ping pong ball expelled from BB the Circus Queen's nether regions. I'm thinking, well, there's a showstopper. No, I'm a big fan of the ping pong ball work, Tone. I've always thought that's how they should conduct lotto draws. Yeah, they get a room full of women in the bicycle kick position, going like the clappers, to keep the balls hovering on a cushion of air about 6 feet off the ground. You'd buy a ticket for that, wouldn't you? Oh, the lotto draw would win the ratings every week. I'm sure Channel 9 have thought about it. Don't you worry.
All I can say, I didn't know that the talkback radio stations were promoting such filth.
That's exactly right. Anyway, Jimbo keeps the freaks coming until the whole show culminates with everybody's favourite, Mr. Lifto, who, as you probably know, has made a name for himself by rearranging the furniture on stage simply by attaching it to the end of his penis. You cannot be unimpressed as he stands there hands-free supporting the weight of a steam iron, which incidentally is exactly the same way I press my shirts of a morning. Then, right, you're invited up on stage. Don't you start backing out now. It's going to get worse before it gets better. Then, right, you're invited up on stage to meet and touch the human zoo. Hours of fun for all the family while you pet the freaks. And, Tone, I haven't enjoyed myself quite so much since I was allowed to touch Greg Matthews' hair. But, Tone, getting back to Mr. Lifto, he's good. But I don't know what all the fuss is about. I've been doing the same thing for years, and I think I've got his measure. Sure, he can lift irons and a car battery, but you saw me this morning go bright red in the face as I lumbered round the room with that engine block. I had it 6 inches off the ground with Gracie sitting on top of it. No, I don't want to blow my own trumpet, but quite frankly, I could raise the Titanic. Want to see what I've been working on at the moment, Tone?
What have you prepared for our listeners?
Check this out. There you go. Now, you'll notice a cord attached to my genitalia, Tone. Well, the other end is attached to this remote control aircraft. Yes. Gracie, clearance for takeoff and... Hey, what do you reckon, Tone? Not bad. Oh, Gracie, duck. There you go. You ain't seen Mel Colston racking up frequent fly points on this little baby. Whoop, look out, there's track turbulence. Oh, I'm starting to get a little dizzy. She's breaking up. Oh,
mayday, mayday.
You hope there's no punchlines on the buses. Now, that were funny. What about the presenters? They don't speak clearly. Kenny and Kennedy, you call that entertainment? I don't like it at all.
We've got some videotapes of the bill.
No, but it's 2 years behind out here. I've already seen it. You people have got no idea. It's all rubbish out here. Just a bunch of second-rate convicts.
The English patient.
Okay, it's time for your sponge bath.
Sponge bath? You people have got no idea. You wouldn't know where to start. It's all rubbish out here. Like the weather, that's crap. Raining 1 minute, fine the next. You don't know whether you're coming or going, do you? It's like the football. You call that football? That's a laugh. And try getting a decent lager. You people have got no idea.
I'm afraid you're going to have to take all your clothes off.
Clothes? You call these clothes? You wouldn't know what clothes were out here. Everything's just rubbish.
I'm going to have to put some of this ointment on your genitals.
Genitals? You people wouldn't know genitals if they jumped up and hit you in the face. I've seen your so-called Australian genitals. They're rubbish. They're crap. You people have got no idea. Genitals don't make me laugh.
The English patient.
Nurse, I'm sorry, but we're going to have to turn off his life support system. Otherwise...
He could experience a full recovery.
I'm afraid so.
You call that euthanasia? That's rubbish. You people have got no idea, have you? It's like you're...
Quick, wheel him out into the corridor.
Say nothing for your so-called arterial freeways. Yes,
quick, Wedge, open the lift doors.
Righto!
Oh, what are you doing now? Trying to murder me in cold blood? You wouldn't know where to start.
All right, grab an end.
What, you call this a lift shaft, do you? It's absolute rubbish. Oh, what, you call this plunging to a hideous death? This is crap, this is rubbish. It's like your so-called postal system. Oh, this is your idea of writhing in agony, having broken every single bone in my body, is it? Don't make me laugh.
The English patient, whinging soon at a cinema near you.
Yourself,
and that'll be happening in the next hour again with a different celebrity, and also Stephen Wright, comedian Stephen Wright, will be helping us wind up Funny Buggers Week.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know if he's ever been referred to as a funny bugger before.
He'll cop it on the chin.
Welcome to Australia, Stephen. He'll be joining us, and what else now? Here's a bit of gossip.
Mm-hmm.
I know we don't normally deal in rumour mongering and gossip on this program.
Sure,
but here's something I found in the Adelaide Advertiser earlier in the week. They don't name anybody. They just say, one prominent female personality has become an overnight sensation on the eastern seaboard. The well-known beauty, who shall remain unnamed, is the star of a videotape which somehow found its way into the hands of her colleagues. The X-rated video, featuring a very revealing and raunchy bedroom romp with an unidentified businessman, is the talk of Sydney. Talk of the Sydney media circuit and has already attracted large gatherings behind closed doors. What do you make of that? No wonder she's not showing up at universities anymore.
Oh, that's just a joke. It's just a joke, but
it certainly gets you thinking, doesn't it?
Who could that be?
Imagine the stories we could tell if this show wasn't going to air.
Mm.
You know, Pete Smith once said that to me. He said, you guys should come in and do a Saturday program, do the show on a Saturday that doesn't go to air, and just say what you say what you want and just reveal all the... Imagine the stories we could tell if this program wasn't going out.
Ooh.
You know that comedy festival gala was on the other day?
Yeah.
Did you hear the story about that one? There's a great story going on about backstage at that one.
Yeah, I've heard it.
A friend of mine said, I popped outside for a smoke at one point, and I won't name the name, but she said, there was somebody who I'd only ever seen on television before's white bobbing ass going at it. I think that was the phrase she used. We won't name any names there. Imagine if this... Just turn off the mics. look.
Cone of silence is all we need.
We can talk about Michael Jackson, however.
Sure.
And listen to this. British waxwork makers Madame Tussauds have confessed that their wax representation of Michael Jackson is woefully out of date. Said a spokesman, our model is from the Thriller era. It looked like somebody else completely, like Billy D. Williams. We need him to come back and sit for us again. Imagine being the bloke in charge of maintaining the Michael Jackson dummy, Mick. Your work would never be done. It'd be like painting the Sydney Harbour Bridge. Finish at one end and you have to start all over again at the other. They need a series. You know how at proper museums they have the evolution of man dummies, you know, caveman up through footy show panellist to present day man. That's what they should have, a Jacko. Right. Just from normal looking bloke in an afro up to the ghostly transvestite bird-like creature we see today. Madame Tussauds have also have their noses out of joint because Jackson has declared the wax model of him at Paris's Musée Grévin is the best he's ever seen.
Right.
And they're not used to, you know, someone else topping them. Jackson told the French team, "It's incredible, although it doesn't really resemble me. The effect is almost lifelike." Someone then politely told him he was actually looking into a mirror.
This is Martin Malone.
You're listening for this.
Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory, and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
Here's a little story you may have missed, Mick. American judge Philip Espinosa, 44, is suing Barry Manilow, claiming that he has suffered constant ringing in his ears since he went to a Barry concert in Arizona 4 years ago.
What are you making? Sure that's the reason? You sure they're not? He's not suing him because everyone's calling Manilow the beak? I'm the beak!
A constant ringing. Do you suppose it's to the tune of Copacabana? You can sue over that. And I thought, that simple story is as good a trigger as any for worst rock concert you've ever been to. That's what we want to hear about today. Worst rock concert. Now, it can be the worst concert for two reasons, because it was just a shocking concert, or because something terrible happened to you at the concert. So it could be a good concert where something bad happened. Okay, now, Mick, any examples from you?
Well, I'm thinking of one we both went to, and Neil Diamond.
Neil Diamond, yes, indeed.
We've gone along basically to hear crunchy granola. I mean, that was it. That was all we wanted. And, you know, he's knocked out a couple of old faves, and we're all into that. And then what did he announce on stage? He said, "I'm now going to do half a dozen tracks off my new Seascape." So what was his Mindscapes?
Lovescapes.
Lovescapes. This was the new album, and you've never seen. It was like someone's yelled fire. Everyone has just gone from the auditorium and are out in the bars. This is at the tennis centre drinking, and everyone's just having a drink, and then someone's raced out and gone, "Oi, he's doing the old stuff again!" Everyone's sculled and gone back in.
Oh, that was a sensational concert, and, you know, I love it when your older sort of bloke attempts to do something modern and stroke futuristic. And remember at one point he's gone all industrial, and he's sung a song called "We're Heading for the Future." And it's gone all a little bit techno, and there's sort of laser lights going everywhere, and there's a couple of blokes in sort of oiled up sort of industrial gear banging on sort of pipes, and I think the lyrics of the song went, "We're heading for the future, we're gonna take a big ride."
Not in that outfit, you're not heading to the future. I think he must have stolen a pair of David Copperfield's pants. What was that? Oh, dear.
But, yeah, that was certainly not necessarily the worst concert, because I once had the misfortune to wander into some kind of pub and see a Howard Jones cover band. Now, had it been a Howard Jones concert on its own,
but you'd win today.
This was a Howard Jones cover band.
Wow.
Ouch! And what have you been to, Sansi? Have you been to any shock and rock concerts, or is anything terrible?
It was a good concert. I went to U2 when they first came out here, and I got front row tickets with my best friend. We were so excited. But of course, the entire audience erupted behind us, and we went against the front, and I passed out, and I went down, and then the men had to lift me out. But Bono sort of, the highlight of it was that in the end, Bono sort of brushed by my calf.
Oh,
so it was
really?
A bad concert because I fainted, but it was good in the end.
And did, what happened? Did Bono pull you out like the Bruce Springsteen video for a bit of a duet?
No, it's just an ugly security man.
Well, that's pretty shocking.
Yeah.
I know a friend of mine who went to a Billy Joel concert, was sitting in the front row and was being ogled by the Beast during the entire rendition of Uptown Girl. She was sitting there and he was singing it to her. It was way to check, please, time, let me tell you.
And I'm looking over at our producer, Gracie, who's been to every rock concert that's ever been staged in this country.
Okay, three. Number one, Human League. No evidence of anybody actually singing or playing a musical instrument. I was sent to Brisbane to do a report on it for the whole country, and it was so bad, I lost my voice. I couldn't do a report. Second one, Poison. Mainly because of the posing that went on, but there was a guitar solo at one point, and the lights came up, and there's a guy standing there with a big acoustic guitar, and then he walked away from it. The guitar is on a stand. So he's got a guitar on a stand, and he walks away from it, walks up to it, plays his solo, walks up, takes a bow. Third one, Bob Dylan, Sydney, late 70s, outdoor concert. People asked me how he was. I held my fingers an inch apart and said about like that, and the guy, there was one voice among the crowd leaving the concert because it was just so far away. Man, that could have been Burl Ives up there.
That's how Gracie used to talk. Well, that's pretty bad. I decided to call up my wife, and I've said today, I've said, look, we're doing a thing on Worst Rock, and I've got that far, and she's just gone, Dr. Hook.
Oh, no, where did she see Dr. Hook?
I've got no idea. She also mentioned something about Jethro Tull, and she said there was a flute player, and there was on the Aqualung tour, and there was this big thing up on stage. I've got, that would have been the Aqualung. All right, we want to hear about the worst rock concert you've ever been to, and do we have a prize? Yes, we do. I better get through this in a hurry. We'll get to the next chorus. You'll win tickets for two to see the movie of your choice. We're pushing the castle, as you know, people. And you go into the draw for 8 days in an endless summer at Club Med New Caledonia. It's the world's most carefree holiday, and I think this band might be playing. Yes, okay, call us, please, quickly, before the next verse. 1-800-657-657. 1-800-657-657. Says Cheryl Crow, it's Martin Malloy, it's Radio Gladiators, and today we simply want to hear about the worst rock concert you've ever been to.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's been to something that fits that description. Who's going first, Mick?
Let's try Ryan. How are you, buddy?
Good, mate.
That's the way. Talk us through it. What was the concert?
It was the Deltones. I was made to go by my mother.
Yeah, right, made to go by your mum?
Yeah, it was sort of a family thing.
Uh-huh.
So I couldn't get my way out of it, so I took a Walkman with my Metallica's tape. And it was in between one of the songs, and you could hear the little... And everyone looked around me and, yeah, busted.
Busted listening to Metallica at a Deltones concert. Have we had this story before, Mick?
No way. That's a beauty.
Mind you, I think the result would be much worse if it was the other way around. Imagine that. You wouldn't get out of there alive. And did the mob sort of, you know, chase you out of the building?
No, I just got the spotlight on me and, you know, the old girl went off.
Yeah. And you got a bake from the guy who talks with a really deep voice.
Yeah.
Turn it off, off. Off, 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 off.
All right, thanks, Ryan. Next, we've got Ben. Ben, have you been to a bad concert or has something bad happened to you at a good concert?
It was a good concert, Midnight Oil concert.
Yeah,
but,
what?
Bad experience.
What happened?
Well, I went there and sort of everyone decided we might imitate Pete Garrett, so we whacked condoms on our heads.
Oh, yeah, because he wears a condom on his head.
Absolutely. Doesn't go anywhere without it.
All right, and what happened?
Well, the guy too, it's like a couple of blokes, and then this other bloke, he's wearing a condom on his head as well, and I was doing the same thing, and Pete gave him a big rap about imitation being the best form of flattery and asked him to come up and dance on the stage, and I was really, really upset because it's like only two people away.
Oh. Did he have, like, was his condom better? Was his ribbed?
Oh, must have been.
Gee, so what did you, just snap yours off in disgust and storm out of there?
No, I didn't storm out, snapped it off in disgust, though.
Good on ya.
Smacked a tantrum.
And, you know, I mean, try again at the Angry Anderson concert, I suppose. Yeah, that's all you could do. Okay, chocolate starfish, I'll just keep going until somebody appreciates my efforts. All right, thanks very much, Ben. Now we've got Katrina. Katrina, have you been to a bad concert?
Oh, yeah, I went to the Genesean concert in the late 70s with my church youth group with a balding priest in the dress circle of the Her Majesty's Theatre. And the woman's cord on her guitar was about 4 foot long, so she kept, like, walking along trying to be groovy with it, and it'd unplug, and then we'd have no sound. And she sang, you know, I learned the truth at 17, and I learned the truth at 17, but I shouldn't go to a Genesean concert. I wanted to dive off the dress circle before I was a mosh pit.
Gee, it's pretty darn depressing, the old Genesean, isn't it?
Oh, music to catch a rich spy.
Do you have to get home and put the Wiggles on?
And tell us a bit about the bald priest. Did he have a condom on his head?
Well, he only looked that way. I mean, basically, you look like an effigy of Buddha. And I think he thought he was being cool for a concert in the 70s.
Oh, well, well, that sounds, yeah, that's going way back.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, the memory's still fresh for Katrina. Have we got Michael there? Michael?
Yeah, it's, how you going, boys?
Good.
Have you been to something bad?
Mate, I went and saw Old 55.
Oh, what happened there?
Oh, this was back in the late 70s in Sydney.
Yeah.
And old Frankie J, he was a tad under the weather.
Was he?
Oh, let's say he was pissed.
Yeah. Are you sure he was really pissed? He might have been only gagging.
Oh, thank God he had his clothes on, bud.
Right.
And when they sung the song, you know, Get a Job, cha na 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 na. Everyone, well, not everyone, but quite a few people in the audience shouted out, for Christ's sake, get a decent job.
Old 55, never caught him myself. I like the fashion.
I think I told this story. I once was working for a radio station, had to do an ad for Old 55, and the only Old 55 record we had on station was, remember they did, Summertime, Summertime, Summertime. Right. I did that one, so it was a 30 second. Rock and roll the way you like it. Summertime, summertime, summertime. A lot of trouble there. Okay, thanks, Michael. Nardine, are you there? You with us?
Hi, yeah.
Been to a bad concert?
Well, I've been to counselling about this. I've been really sad. I went to the Billy Ray Cyrus concert.
Oh, dear, yes.
And that's... you know the sad thing? I actually got up and sang all the words and the dance to Don't Break My Heart. My achy, breaky heart.
You got up on stage.
No, just in my seat, but that's pretty bad.
Oh, that's worse. I mean, if you crawl up on stage, you've probably got to go through the motions. But if you're sitting in your own chair, you're doing it of your own free will.
And, Nardine, can you still do all those dance moves?
For sure.
Have you still got, you know, do you have a ponytail that you throw on?
Yep. And my little bum singlet, you know.
Of course. Well, that's, I don't know whether we can really top that, but we're going to try because Liz is on the line. You there, Liz?
Yeah, I've been waiting a while, but I'm here finally.
Thanks
How
for waiting.
You?
It is free. Thanks for sticking
all right.
around.
And I've got to go to work tonight, so I thought I'd better get a move on.
Oh, where are you
sorry
working?
Sorry about that.
Oh, I work in a, oh no, I'm not even going to embarrass myself. You'll make a joke of it.
No, we won't. We
no,
promise we won't.
I work in a bistro at a sports club. It's an Aussie rules club, though, so. But it's in Queensland, and this state's a real rugby state. So,
oh, I see.
You know, I get bagged, so if you say a football club.
All right. All right, well, let's hear about that concert. What was it?
Well, I couldn't remember the name of the band for a while, so that told you it must have been a good concert memory-wise for a start, but it was Tears for Fears. Remember them?
Oh, yeah.
You'll have to refresh our memory.
I was in a Melbourne nightclub. I was about 18.
Yeah.
And I met this... I saw these guys come in and all the girls while I was working going, oh, look, it's the guys from Tears for Fears. Oh, aren't they wonderful? Aren't they sparks?
Really?
I was thinking, oh, yeah, they're all right. Average, I suppose, and this old bloke comes over, sort of balding guy.
Right. That'll be Stock, and, Aiken or Waterman.
He came over and said, oh, hey, I'm their manager, Tears for Fears. Have you heard of him? I said, oh, I think so. So he said, oh, how about tickets to the concert tomorrow night? Oh, no worries. So ring up the Sports and Entertainment Centre or something. They've booked and took a friend from work. And we got in there and, like, they had two singles out at the time, so it was really worth going to a concert for a start. You knew two songs, the rest of it was pretty... average.
And so
he said there's a private party after that.
Oh, wow.
You know, you'll get to meet them, get their autographs. I mean, oh, this will be good. So rock on over to one of these posh hotels in Melbourne. I can't remember which one it was, the Regency or somewhere. And so champagne and all that, get up to the room. And I'm thinking, oh, they'll be here soon. And this bloke walks in and my girlfriend didn't come along. She said, no, I'll stay at this nightclub.
Is this story about to take an ugly turn, Liz?
Turn, yes. And I'm, you know, naive 18-year-old. Okay. I was waiting to meet the band, but I never met them. And I had this sleaze bag going, oh, you know, well,
and by that
you know
time...
me, you can meet all sorts of people. He reckoned he was Hugh Padgham and he's... you know, something to do with Phil Collins and a few other big bands, but
well,
it probably wasn't.
That's a disturbing story, and I don't think we have time for the conclusion. Gee, Tears for Fears. You went to a Tears for Fears concert, didn't you, Mick?
No, I had a record.
All right.
And it's the only record that I lost. I actually left it at someone else's house, and I never spoke to him for about 6 months. And they rang me up and said, hey, I'm going to get your Tears for Fears record.
Yeah, Tears for Fears concert, just 2,000 people going, shout, shout, let us all out. But I don't know whether that's our winner. Liz with Tears for Fears, Nardine with Billy Ray, Michael at the Old 55 Experience, Katrina with Janice, Ian, Ben with the Oils, the Condom Bizzo, and Ryan caught playing Metallica during a Deltones show. Is that how we...
That sounds as good as any! Sprung Band!
I hope he's still hanging on the line there. You there, Ryan?
I am.
Oh, good on you. Thanks for hanging in there. And guess what? You've won. Well, firstly, of course, tickets to see the film of your choice. But we've attached your name to a piece of paper. It's going into the Colston. And our assistant, Sans, here is giving it a spin. And whoever comes out of this will be off to Club Med, New Caledonia for 8 days. Who's it going to be? Am I supposed to pull it? Oh, God, there's too much responsibility. It's Sean Woodhouse. Yes. Who was sacked from his paper round for doing it in his dad's car when he wasn't of driving age. Well done, Sean. Your illegal behaviour is sending you to Club Med, New Caledonia. Thanks very much. Thanks to everyone who took part. And we'll be back in the next hour with Stephen Wright. That'd be Newton with the much-needed remake of Sometimes When We Touch here at Martin Molloy. It's the second hour. Our guest is here. He's currently touring Australia. He's an acclaimed stand-up comic whose 1986 album, I Have a Pony, is not only a classic, but is now available as a $14.95 nice price special.
Wow.
That's true. Price, no reflection of quality, but go and bag that one while you can. He won an Oscar for his short film, The Appointments of Dennis Jennings, and has made several electrifying cameos in everything from Natural Born Killers to Mad About You. Please remain seated as sudden movements may frighten Stephen Wright. Stephen, thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
Have you done much radio, Stephen? I mean, everyone knows your work in Reservoir Dogs as a DJ, but did you do much research? Did you go out and...
Well, actually, I studied radio in college, and then, but I never had an actual job in it until... And they had that fake job in the movie. So maybe I went to a fake college and it worked out. But
hey, what do you study in radio college? What's that all about?
That's got to be a quick course.
Time calls?
Acid wash denim?
Just, I don't know, on and off switches and just make sure it's loud enough and playing different things at different times, you know. And
I mean, we don't know much about American campus life because all we see are those films where they're just running around on, what are they called, panty raids?
Those are documentaries.
Is that what it's like?
Absolutely.
Were you at one of those, what are they called, frat houses where they're just running around with kegs of beer and women's underwear?
No, my school wasn't like that. We didn't run around.
Have you ever run around, Stephen? You don't strike me as a guy who'd ever crack a stitch running a mile.
Or... Actually, I would surprise you. I downhill ski.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm an avid bicyclist. I do about 12 to 15 miles a day on a bike.
And I'm trying to picture you on a trampoline. Stephen, have you ever been on a trampoline ever in your life?
Once in junior high school.
Yeah.
And I didn't like it because... It worked.
Exactly. That's the problem.
And what did you want to be when you were a kid? Was there anything that you really set your sights on?
I wanted to be a telescope repairman.
That was your burning desire.
Yep. No, actually, I wanted to collect parts to vehicles that hadn't been invented yet. Get ahead of the thing when they broke down years later. Actually, I wanted to do comedy since about when I was about 14 or 15.
Hey.
I watched The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson every night, and I thought, not with him, you know, I watched him on it, and I thought, I would like to go on there. That's what I would really like to do, is to go on and tell my little jokes.
And has your act always been kind of the same, Stephen, or is there an earlier incarnation? If you went back into the early footage, would we see a more, you know, wearing a plaid suit, doing a different kind of act?
At one point, I talked very quickly in Spanish. And then it evolved out of that.
All right,
I went back. But in the beginning, I did talk quick because I was nervous.
Hey.
I was scared to be on stage. But then the more relaxed I got, the more I slowed down to my normal
pace.
Yes.
And do you remember the very first gig you did back in the early days?
Yes, I do. It was in a club, and it was I was on stage for about 2 minutes, and they laughed at about half a minute. And I came off and I thought, this is horrible. This is, I can't do this. And then this guy came up to me and he said, here, look at this. and it was a magazine. It had nothing to do with what I'm telling you. No, then this guy said, you should try to write more stuff and go back and do it, and so I kept going back. It was horrifying, though, because I was basically an introverted person.
Really?
Yes.
Right? But now you don't get nervous at all before you go on to do a live spot?
No, a little anxious. It's, you know, but not nervous.
All right, Stephen, I know you're an energetic man with cycling to take care of, but can you stick around for another break with us?
Sure.
She wants to come over here at
Martin Molloy.
And Stephen Wright is still with us. He's out here in Australia.
He's
playing
still
the
here, but now he's laying down and he's making little puppets out of pieces of paper. Get off the floor, Stephen. And he's talking to himself. Are you talking to yourself? Yes. Well, then how come I can hear you?
So many of our guests behave like this. I'm getting fed up with it.
He's gone all David Helfgott on us. You ever do that in the middle of a stand-up routine? Muddy to yourself under your breath? David
no,
Helfgott
in my
style.
Head I am, though.
You
in
are?
In my mind, I'm planning what I'm going to eat and who I'm going to kill. In which order I should do it in.
And what's in the act this time around, Stephen?
Nothing. I tell two 30-minute jokes.
Is that right?
Yes. I try to do something different. They have 28-minute setups. Then I do a punchline. Then I take a break for about 40 minutes, and I come out and tell the second joke.
And what are you doing in that break? Is it a Diana Ross-style costume change? Or
exactly.
Yeah?
Yes. I won't come out with it on. I just like to go in the back room and put on like a red sequence thing with heels and a wig, and I'll do some lip syncing to the Supremes and stuff. Then I'll come back dressed totally like I was.
And no one knows.
Because why should the show just be for the audience?
Exactly. There's got to be something in it
I'm
for you.
I'm here too. There's mirrors. Why not take advantage of early technology?
What about filmmaking, Stephen? We know you've won an Oscar. Is there anything else on the way?
Yes, I've been going to movies now.
Oh, yeah.
And I bring my Oscar underneath my jacket, and when I'm in watching the movie, when I think it's a, you know, an all right movie or a good movie, I just take it out from under my jacket. And no one can see because the lights are on. I just look at my Oscar and I look at the screen and then I put it back. And I thought, this is wild. My life's absolutely insane.
And does the Oscar open doors for you? Can you go to any cinema, drop the Oscar on the thing and say, let me in for nothing?
No, but I should try that. I mean, that's hilarious.
What would they say? How could they stop you? Surely you're up for any free stuff at any cinema in the world with an Oscar. I bet that Kevin Costner does that.
Yeah, it's about time you got into it, Stephen. Get a bit of showbiz asshole about you. Have you ever chucked a tantrum? Have you ever stood in a hotel floor and said, this isn't good enough, and started tipping over furniture? I'd love to see you do that.
I did once, but I was in a good mood.
Has any showbiz stuff ever happened to you like that? Because I know you come out here and you always hear interviews going, Stephen, what do you do in your spare time? And you hear, I go cycling, I go for a walk. And people are going, have you never been in any kind of scandal? Yeah.
Weren't you chased home one night driving naked, covered in imaginary rats? Hasn't that ever happened to you?
Surely there must be some Robert Downey Jr. sort of stuff in the background that we don't know about.
You mean selling heroin to Girl Scouts? Stuff like that? Oh, I wish.
We heard a while ago this huge thing that was sweeping America, and it was someone from Friends, and it was all about the haircut, and it was called the Rachel. I'm kind of concerned that the Stephen hasn't taken off coast to
well,
coast.
Well, if it hasn't taken off by now, it's not going to.
It's not happening.
I think it went across during the time of Lincoln. That's how ahead of my time I was. It happened before I was there.
Stephen, you've got a reputation out here.
I do.
As one of the most ripped-off comics in the business.
Seriously?
There's blokes making a living doing your act, wandering around the place.
I don't know why you bothered coming out.
I don't see it. I hear about it once in a while, though, but I don't care. Do my act, and the people still come, and how much can I...
Being attacked by imaginary rats. It can happen.
Has that ever happened to you?
Oh, once, but we don't go into it. It's
imaginary rats.
Yeah, absolutely.
They'd be freakier than real rats. You could never really get rid of them.
They play with your mind. All mind games.
You go around to big space, there's imaginary rat traps everywhere.
I'll be standing on an imaginary chair, shrieking.
Oh, all right, Stephen. What are you up to when you finish with Australia? What's your master plan involve next? He's pointing to another bloke.
Who's laughing hysterically.
He's got imaginary rats all over him, that guy.
I'm going to go home and rewrite the Bible. I think that the New Testament is pretty old now, and I don't know why they have that word in there. And other than that, I'm going to... I'm going to play Carnegie Hall. I never played there before.
Wow.
June 11th.
Well, we have to be dressed like one of the three tenors. We have to go a bit sort of highfalutin.
Here we go. I'm going to be thinking of imaginary rap stuff.
Well, all the best of luck to you. Collect your imaginary rats at the door.
Get the hell out of here.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
On Vogue here at Martin Molloy with Don't Let Go. And thanks very much to Stephen Wright for coming in. That guy's a nut.
He's a wacky chappy.
He is. He's supposed to be the master of deadpan.
He is.
But he's obsessed with imaginary rats.
He is now.
We know that. And here's where you can see Stephen Wright if you're in Melbourne tomorrow night at the Concert Hall, in Sydney at the State Theatre, Monday, next Friday, and next Saturday, the 19th of April. And then in Brisbane at the Concert Hall, Sunday the 20th and Monday the 21st of April. It's a top show.
Absolutely.
Seen him many times live, always turns on a top show. Not much in the way of visual spectacle.
You don't need it. You've got your hands full anyway.
But it's like a mental river dance. There's a lot going on inside the brain. So go along and see Stephen Wright, but we've got other business to take care of.
It's time to play When Celebrities Attack. Celebrities and humans have always coexisted somewhat uneasily on this earth, and no one really knows when one may attack next. Imagine Liam Gallagher taking to a wedding cake with a 9-iron. Imagine Armin Mueller-Stahl charging a bus full of school kiddies. Imagine Carrie Ann Kennelly headbutting a drugged buffalo. Imagine being gored by one of the Hunter brothers. If you can help us relive the moment when celebrities attack, you could be up for a fabulous prize, courtesy of new blue M&M.
Today the celebrity is Amanda Vanstone. She's claiming whenever she goes to a uni, she's being bagged by the students.
Yep.
We're letting her have a chance to get her own back.
I'm not fat. I'm just cuddly, you skinny dipsticks. I can eat Mel Colston for breakfast. I'll kick you bloody students out of the unis. You don't belong there, you poor mongrels. I'm the best senator there is. I'll be the next prime minister, and I'll do the Macarena nude on the steps of parliament, you mongrels. So give me a cheeseburger. Get off my bloody property!
If you're today's winner, you'll bag a blue M&M prize pack and go into the draw for a trip for two to LA and New York, where you'll score a walk-on part in NYPD Blue. Okay, lads, rattle the cage.
Love to, Pete. Looking for celebrity news. I've got out the Woman's Day. And, you know it's a slow news week when the Woman's Day are running. English patient star shocks Hollywood. Wild new photos with new underline. You go, right. Oh, this is going to be outrageous. What's she doing? What must she be up to? And you turn inside, and there's two pictures of Kristen Scott Thomas being carried by the director of The English Patient at an after-Oscars party. She's got a bottle of champagne in one hand and two unlit cigarettes in her mouth. And that's it.
That's shocking.
Oh, disturbing.
Oh, no.
All clothes on. Nothing going on there. It's just somebody being lifted up. Shocks Hollywood. Person lifted off ground. Shocking. I was deeply disturbed. They're not helping us out. What other celebrity news have we got?
Oh, Tone, look, I've been reading more about this Stock Aitken Waterman trial. It's Stock Aitken versus Waterman.
Isn't that great? Isn't it great how it's happened in the actual order of the name of the group?
Oh, it's perfect.
It's not Stock and Waterman versus Aitken. It's Stock Aitken v. Waterman.
That would be far too confusing. And I've been thinking about it, Tone, and the more I think about it, I just... What I'd give to be on that jury.
Oh, hang him! Hang him high! Get in the chair! Is it too late to stone people to death? Can we do that? Can you reintroduce that people? Hang him high! Hang him hard! Hang him till you can't hang him anymore!
I cite this Rick Astley album, Your Honour!
Well, this is an interesting thing. You know, I think they've been listening to the OJ trial because in the preliminary hearing, right, they were asked what they were doing when the Jason Donovan records were being recorded, and they all said they were out the back playing golf. What are they up to, that
we
lot?
We just pressed play, record, and left the room. Now, we're not talking about Stock Aitken and Waterman on the segment today, because there's certainly one celebrity story which has been fascinating us all week, this news that Andrew Lloyd Webber likes to talk to his wine collection. He said something to the effect of, you know, on a quiet evening, I'll pop down the cellar and have a nice conversation with my tannic friends, unquote. And I think we want people to call up and be Andrew Lloyd Webber giving his wine collection a bake.
That sounds like a good idea to me.
It sounded like a good idea at 11 o'clock this morning.
You've got to be going to your wine collection. You're Andrew Lloyd Webber paying out in your wine collection.
You've got to put on a bit of a pompous sort of English accent.
You are English.
A bit snooty. Mm-hmm. And we'll accept female Andrew Lloyd Webbers. Not much of a stretch required there. And just go to town.
Yeah.
A few references to his musicals.
Exactly.
Whatever you want.
You know, he might have just returned from Elton John's birthday party. Yeah, there's all manner of...
In the Manchester United gear.
Yeah, right.
And, of course, don't forget, we've got a blue M&M pack for you. And I don't know if this is in the blue M&M pack, but I've spent the whole show. I've fainted twice during the course of the program attempting to inflate the blue M&M. Mm. There it is there.
Tone, please tell me you're not going to try and have your way with that.
Oh, look, it is the deluxe model, real hair. But that's an example of what's in the blue M&M pack. And you also go into the draw for that trip for two to New York and LA, where you will have a walk-on part in NYPD Blue.
Tone, do you see a big furor in the paper about the new thrill pill? It's a new thrill pill. It's designed for women, apparently. You just dunk it and it gives you an orgasm.
Yeah.
How is that different from the blue M&M?
It's very...
How does it... One blue M&M and I'm off.
Very little difference. What's... Oh, he's losing it. Call us now and be Andrew Lloyd Webber going his own wine collection. 1-800-657-657. There it is. That's from Sunset Boulevard, isn't it?
I'm sure.
Sunset Boulevard, creepy Boulevard, sneaky Boulevard,
gangly Boulevard.
That's the exact wording of that song.
Hey, did you hear Sans on the phone? Hi, could you do your Andrew Lloyd Webber for me? And then at the end, she'd start like loosening a button and having a cigarette. I think you're enjoying it.
It is when celebrities attack.
Started fanning herself. We're bright red. Ooh, I say, Andrew.
Sir Andrew.
Sir Andrew.
We want people to call up, and that's what they've done, and B, Sir Andrew Lloyd Webber attacking his own wine collection, because we learnt this week that on a quiet night, he goes down, he's got this $4 million wine collection in the cellar. Mm-hmm. He goes down and talks to them. Mm. He actually maintains conversations.
I saw a television program where he was interviewed by his wine collection. Did you see that?
No.
Oh, it was very interesting. Most illuminating.
Fantastic. Mm. Okay, let's introduce the first Andrew Lloyd Webber. Who is it, Mick?
I believe it's Mick. How are you, Mick?
Good, thanks, fellas. How's you going?
Not too bad. You going to Webber up for us?
Mate, I'm ready.
Okay, right. We'll start the... You're in the cellar. Go.
Oh, come on, you bottles of Chardonnay. Come on, I don't want to help him hear some meows. Find that speed voice of yours, you little buggers. Cabernet Sauvignon, skate faster. I want you to go faster around. That's it. The Riesling, come on, get up on that boulevard, that boulevard. The Chablis, I can't hear you. Come on, get that Technicolor coat off your head, you little bastard. Plonk, what's the Plonk doing in here?
Oh, get him out of there. He would never say bastard, ever.
No.
Not to the wine collection's face, anyway. It's the kind of thing he might say round town behind its back.
Well, that's a pretty good opener.
And was it the Chardonnay that was skating?
The Cabernet Sauvignon.
Oh, the Cabernet Sauvignon.
I'm just trying to remember how we thought of this competition initially and how we got this far. But next we're going with Tim. Are you there, Tim?
Yeah.
Are you ready to play the role of Andrew Lloyd Webber?
Oh, I certainly am.
All right, you're in the cellar. Take it away.
Okay. I'm a bit upset with my bottles of wine. You know, I turn them on a regular basis and they leak everywhere, absolutely everywhere. You know, I spend hundreds of pounds on it, and I took along to Elton's party the other night, and I was really quite disgusted. You know, really quite disgusted. I had a bottle of champagne that just popped out all over Elton. Elton's my good friend, you know, and I was really quite upset.
Well, that's disturbingly lifelike.
Sunset Boulevard! Creepy Boulevard! Hirsute Boulevard!
Oh, look out, Andrew Lloyd Webber's still going.
You know, I'd go down the mark. Just
to help. Lackadaisical Boulevard!
Next!
to Lloyd Webber just won't shut up.
We'll return to Tim, already in progress. Have we got Scott on the line? You there, Scott?
Yeah, I'm here, boys. How are you?
Not bad. Are you ready to go down to the cellar?
Of course.
Okay, take it away.
You bottles are absolutely hopeless. I took the 1984's brother down to Elton John's wedding, and he said it was crap. He threw it back at me. You guys haven't found your stage tape yet.
Oi, oi, he's gone mad.
Oh, sorry, I slipped. Go, you're pathetic.
Well, it's an impressive lineup of
talent.
Don't
you dare right now and say, Mick, who is our winner? I don't want any part of it.
I think we might have to go right back up the top for Mick.
I think you might be right.
All the performances were superb, but his was the most evocative.
Oh, well done, chaps, well done.
Yes. Oh, dear, he's still in character, but listen to this. You've got a blue M&M pack. And...
That's Tim Rice.
Crying for his royalties. And you've gone into the draw for that trip for two to New York and LA, where you'll get that walk-on part in NYPD Blue if you come out of the barrel 2 weeks from today.
Oh, that's great, fellas. Well done.
You won't have to do it as Andrew Lloyd Webber.
No, get on there, and I'd love to dye my hair red and show me bum, do I?
I don't know if that's a requirement.
You can do whatever you want.
Is that what Sipkowitz is doing these days? They're desperate. All right, we'll be back with another week of When Celebrities Attack, I think, from Monday on Martin Malloy. That'd be Kim Wilde. You kept me hanging on. Winding up another week of Martin Malloy, pretty much. Mick, have you got some message for the listeners?
No Tigers!
Oh, okay.
Eat them alive, Tigers!
That's right.
That's all I want to say.
I don't have anything to say of that nature, but I think, certainly Jim Whaley's phrase of the week was...
Pulling a Swifty.
That's right. It's a new segment we're getting up.
Pulling a Swifty.
Sansi is blushing again.
She loves it. She can't get enough of Jim's work.
Mm.
And anything we have to point out, I know the website is up and running, as it has been for a while now.
Yep.
Martin Malloy Land, it's the usual bizzo. Forget the www. We don't have that. We're not having a bar of that. It's just martinmalloy.village.com.au. And here's how we end the week on this program. We get all the really piss-weak gags we didn't have room for earlier in the show, and we pack them into the Martin Malloy Comedy Incinerator. Start the clock, if you could, Gracie. Here's some news. Mick, David Fassold, the marine salvage expert who spent years claiming he'd found the remains of Noah's Ark in Turkey, now says his findings are, quote, absolute bullshit. However, they are two identical pieces of bullshit, so we can't rule out their authenticity yet. See, that's how it works.
There you go. We're away. I'll pick up that ball and run with it. The Davis Cup tennis tournament was thrown into disarray last week when the umpire made an incorrect call during the dead rubber between Patrick Rafter and his Czech opponent late during the third set. With Rafter serving for the match, the umpire mistakenly called 40-30 when in fact he should have called last drinks.
The Prime Minister this week stated that despite recent events, he still believes the vast bulk of the Senate is fundamentally honest. There was no response from the vast bulk of the Senate, who is still resting in a Brisbane hospital.
The Heaven's Gate cult is back in the news with claims by two former members that they were told they would not be allowed to board the spaceship in the tail of the Hale-Bopp comet. Apparently, the decision was made after both members attempted to get their testicles on board as hand luggage.
And finally, the long-awaited Yes, I'm a Lesbian episode of Ellen finally went to air in the US this week. I think I speak for all Australians when I say... Join in with me, Mick. Oh, it's the Ellen lesbian episode. Just put it to air. Get it out of the way.
Thank you.
Now, we'd like to thank all our guests today. Obviously, they were Stephen Wright, of course, all our gladiators, and Lloyd Webbers. Fantastic work there. As always, a big end-of-week salute to our producer, Gracie.
On you, Gracie!
Our assistant, Sansia.
Sans!
Making the sketches till all hours, it's Vicky Ma.
Vicky!
And all the button pushers from here to old London town
who know exactly who they are.
And who have I forgotten? That'd be the big man in the glass booth, one Pete Smith.
On ya, Petey boy!
We'll be back next week, thanks to Coca-Cola, and our guests next week include film directors Philip Noyce and Larry Bishop, of course, son of Joey Bishop. He'll be with us.
Yep.
Wendy Harmer will be dropping by. Stand-up comic Greg Proops is on board, as is young Australian actor on the make, Stephen Curry. And go and check out the castle this week if you've got nothing better to do, people.
Yep.
And I think it's time for us to go. Obviously, we're indebted to David Colston, whose work has been amusing us over the last couple of days. And I believe it's paid off for him because, Mick, have you heard about our new sitcom?
I believe so.
Check it out.